This is KVNF Regional News. It's Thursday, February 13th. I'm Patricia Naft. Colorado is embarking into uncharted territory as the Department of Transportation creates its first public-private partnership along U.S. Highway 36. CDOT officials say they don't have the money to repair and maintain all the state's roads and bridges, and this agreement is necessary. But as Benta Berkland reports, several lawmakers have serious concerns and want to slow down the project.
100,000 cars travel along U.S. 36 between Boulder and Denver each day, and state officials say during rush hour, drivers have to endure up to 4 hours of severe congestion. With significant growth on the horizon, road planners say the stretch needs major improvements, including new express lanes.
The general purpose lanes, which are being reconstructed, are in bad shape. This project was a high priority.
Mike Shirotis is with the Colorado Department of Transportation's High Performance Transportation Enterprise. The board is charged with pursuing innovative ways to finance road construction.
When you're faced with alternatives and you don't have a lot of alternatives, you move forward with what you've got.
Shirotis says his best option is entering into a 50-year contract with the Australian company The Plenary Group. The company plans to spend $180 million to build a toll lane and maintain the road.
I don't oppose public-private partnerships.
That's Democratic House Majority Leader Dickie Lee Hollinghorst of Boulder.
It is, unfortunately, one of the ways we're going to have to look at financing things like this because there's really no money to do it otherwise.
While she supports the concept, Hollinghorst says she's not sold on the U.S. 36 project. She and 13 other lawmakers signed a letter to get answers from state transportation officials.
A couple of things that we're very concerned about. The state's liability when you enter into a long-term contract like this and what they would really have to stand up for if something went wrong with the private business.
State officials say Colorado is woefully short of transportation funds. The gas tax brings in less money than it used to because cars are more fuel efficient and get better gas mileage. Raising the tax is one option, but politicians note that the public doesn't support a higher tax. The project is also raising questions from some groups concerned about toll rates. Ken Beitels with the clean energy nonprofit Drive Sunshine Institute.
Privatization is happening remarkably quickly, and one of the many problems with it is that the Colorado voter loses say of what can happen on, and public policy for Colorado highways will now be set by the private sector.
The Colorado Department of Transportation says it's held countless public meetings on the U.S. 36 project, and they're surprised at the pushback. Democratic House Transportation Committee Chair Max Tyler says he's looking forward to getting more information. Tyler didn't sign the letter expressing concern, but will chair a briefing on the topic on Thursday.
We need to understand that the taxpayer is going to get the best value for their money.
Tyler says public-private partnerships may be the wave of the future, but he remains skeptical.
I believe a public good should be paid for by the community at large. We're kind of abdicating our responsibility to ourselves to make sure we have good, strong infrastructure. People say, well, I don't want to pay for that, but it's roads that everybody uses.
Even with the hearing, the state's high-performance transportation enterprise says it's still on track to sign the deal with the plenary group soon. The U.S. 36 venture is expected to be complete in 2 years. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
The Delta County School District is considering laying off 23 teachers next year. That's according to the Delta County Independent. The district is facing a $1.75 million funding gap next year due to the higher costs for health insurance and retirement contributions and declining enrollment. At a public meeting Saturday, Superintendent Karen Gibson said the district receives $6,300 per student in state funding. Over 100 students left the district last year alone. That means the district is down $630,000 just from lost students. To offset the impact of the layoffs, the school district will try to reassign laid-off teachers to spots opened up by retirees or departing teachers. The school board may also consider asking voters for a tax increase. Another idea is to have athletes pay more to play school sports. The school board has not made a final decision yet on next year's budget. A new University of Colorado study of natural gas wells and birth defects is being questioned by the state's public health department. The study found that mothers living in rural areas with the highest concentration of gas wells were 30% more likely to give birth to babies with congenital heart defects than mothers living in areas with no natural gas wells. After the paper was published last month, Colorado's chief medical officer took the unusual step of warning people not to jump to conclusions. KGNU's Jim Pullen interviewed the study lead author, Dr. Lisa McKenzie, about her findings and the controversy. He started by asking her how she became interested in the topic.
We're interested in this line of study because there have been several anecdotal cases of people reporting health effects living near natural gas development. We also know that natural gas development emits chemicals that have the potential to cause birth defects, and these chemicals would include benzene, toluene, and xylene. These chemicals can cross the placenta, so they can move through the mother's blood into the fetus. And they cause birth defects by interfering with formation of the heart and other critical organs during development of the fetus.
After the study was published, Dr. Larry Wolk, the chief medical officer and executive director of the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment, issued a press release. He said it's difficult to draw conclusions from this study due to its design and limitations. He says that for birth outcomes with very few cases such as neural tube defects, the authors did not consider the effect of other risk factors, smoking, drinking, mother's folic acid intake.
Well, Jim, we did adjust for several of those factors. We adjusted for smoking, mother's alcohol use, mother's ethnicity, her level of education, the birth order, so where the child was in the birth order, the gender of the child, and a few other factors. There are other potential things that may be associated with birth defects for which we did not have information and could not adjust for, and that is something that would need to be done as this research continues.
Then there was a note that said that they don't necessarily know where the mother lived at the time of conception or during the first trimester. Was that data unavailable then?
That data was unavailable at this time. You have to go back and interview the mothers to know that. And that is a limitation of the study that we discuss.
He says, as chief medical officer, I would tell pregnant women and mothers who live or who at the time of their pregnancy lived in proximity to a gas well not to rely on this study as an explanation of why one of their children might have had a birth defect.
I have no problem with that statement.
So what are your plans to move forward with this research?
Our plans to move forward with this research is to go back into our cohort and identify births that had these defects and then a subset of the births that did not have these defects, and to look at those mothers and wells around those mothers in much more detail. I would just conclude by saying that the Wall Street Journal recently reported that over 15 million people in the United States are now living within a mile of an oil and gas well that was drilled since the year 2000. Taking that information and the findings of this study just underscore the importance of doing more research in this area.
That was KGNU's Jim Pullen interviewing Dr. Lisa McKenzie. Stay tuned for The Sweet Sound with Ryan. For KBNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.